Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good morning to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Man, I'm glad my allergy pill finally kicked in. I was sneezing, got eyes watering. I don't know what I got into this morning when I was feeding the calves or weaning out west of elk, but whew, it got to me. But I still got something in my eye, but we'll make it through there today. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour, all hour. Got the Taylor Ranch question of the day coming up here shortly. So get your pencil and pen ready. We need a winner today. And we got a new text line sponsor. Fowler Agency here out of Elk City, Altus, and Memphis will be our new text line sponsor. So I'm excited about that. First, let's check out some temperatures around western Oklahoma. 86 degrees at Hollis, 85 at Hobart, 82 at Cheyenne, 77 at Arnett, 77 at the May Ranch, 85 at Beaver, and what is ceiling? 78 degrees out here in the panhandle of Texas. What we got? 79 at Lipscomb, 79 at Miami, 84 at Dozier, 87 at Childress, and 87 at Odell, down there south of the Red River, south of Altus America. See, I guess I found a subject that people want to talk about or have questions about. Yesterday, had Brandon Hickey from the Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction on the show with me, as we do almost every Tuesday, every week. And so the question I had to him was, what point in the fall do buyers start really hitting the unworked or unweaned calves hard? Price wise, not hard, but you know, sometimes there's 15, 20 cents difference between weaned and unweaned. But this year's a little unusual year. And we were talking about it, and we got into the vaccines and the live virus versus the kill virus. So I guess that's a pretty good topic, because I got a message from one of the listeners last night that was a really good message. And matter of fact, I'm going to share it with you later on in the show. And, not going to tell you who it's from, just going to share the message. And it's basically, he's saying the same thing Brandon did yesterday. You know, Brandon said, I don't blame you if you bring your cattle in unworked, you know, off the cow, just because of the prices. I mean, it is what it is. Everybody does it different. Every operation. I take care of two different people's cattle for them. One of them we wean for a minimum 45 days. They're vaccinated all the way through. And another, landlord I take care of cattle for, that as soon as they're somewhere between 400 and 500 pounds on the mama, we take them straight to the sell barn. That's his business, and it's other people's business how they do theirs. But we're going to talk about it. I sent an email out to a veterinarian that is the main vet for JBS, and he had a really good talked about the mortality rate with the live virus versus the kill virus and all this. So I'm going to see if I can get him on the show here in the next 2 or 3 weeks here, and just get something to talk about. Meanwhile, back here in the studio, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. According to Successful Farming, corn and soybean futures were lower overnight amid lofty production expectations and favorable weather conditions in the U.S. The Department of Agriculture last month forecast domestic corn production in the 25-26 marketing year that started on September 1st at 16.742 billion bushels on yields of 188.8 bushels an acre. Both will be records if it gets done. That'd be up from the previous year's output of 14.86 7 billion bushels on yields of 179.3 bushels an acre, according to the USDA. Ending stocks are expected to jump to 2.117 billion bushels in the current marketing year, and that's up from 1.305 billion. That's a lot. It's not quite a billion, but getting pretty close. Soybean output in the 25-26 season is projected at 4.292 billion bushels on yields of 53.6 bushels an acre. That's down from 4.366 billion bushels on yields of only 50.7 bushels an acre. Production will decline while yields surge as growers will likely harvest soybeans from 80.1 million acres this year versus 86.1 million last year. Also pressuring prices overnight are calls from dry weather in states where the corn harvest has already started. 4% of the U.S. corn was in the bin as of Sunday, led by Texas at 69% and North Carolina at 44%. Corn futures overnight fell 2 cents to 417 and 3/4 cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade for December. Soybeans for November delivery lost 3.5 pennies to 1027 and 3/4 a bushel. Soy meal dropped a buck to 288 a short ton, and soybean oil futures declined to 0.202 cents to 50.46 cents a pound. Wheat futures for December delivery was unchanged at 520 and a quarter in Chicago. Kansas City were steady at $5.10 and a quarter a bushel. Here we go. Everybody likes it when I say Brazilian. Beef shipments from Brazilian will fall in 2026 as production declines, according to the USDA data. Exports are forecast at carcass weight equivalent of 3.55 million metric tons. That's down from 3.85 million tons this year. Brazil has been the world's largest exporter of beef since 2017, according to data from the USDA. Exports will account for 31% of all production in 2026. China will again be the biggest importer of Brazilian beef, as it has been ever since 2009. Production is also expected to fall in 2026 to a carcass weight equivalent of 11.5 million metric tons. That's down from the forecast output of 11.85 million metric tons. The forecast considers several factors, including reduced cattle slaughter, economic conditions affecting domestic consumption, and overseas demand for beef, according to this report. Plus, it's not in there, but I read it last week. You know, they confiscated 7,000 illegal head of cattle in Brazil. What was it? A couple months ago? And they just come up with a story last week on it. So that might hurt a little bit. And, of course, from what I understand, JBS was fined on, according to that story, they was fined for, I guess they were, they had them running in the Amazon forest, from what I heard. Weather in our farm belt. Looks like central Kansas is going to get it again today. We had some storms brew up last night and this morning. Looks like parts of the Texas Panhandle spotted areas. You just had to be under the right cloud. Got some rain. Matter of fact, there's a front, a little line of storms right now stretching from up around Arnett through Leedy to Clinton, according to what it looked like on the radar. I don't know how much it's raining, but areas has been getting some rain. Looks like around Beaver and up in the Panhandle, they've been getting, according to the Mesonet, anywhere from 1/4 inch all the way up to inch and a half in parts of northwestern Oklahoma. Let's see here. What is that? Buffalo, 1/4 inch, Freedom, 8/10, Alva, a couple tenths, and that's just at the Mesonet, but there's some darker areas outside those Mesonets, so they've been getting some pretty good showers, and Texas Panhandle's been getting some showers, so good for them. All right, you guys ready for the Taylor Ranch question of the day? Where did it go? Bear with me here a second. There we go. Here we go. Beef cow slaughter from January through August of this year is down 17.1%. That amounts to how many less head from the same period last year? A, 220,000 head. B, 250,000 head. C, 280,000 head. Or D, 310,000 head. Beef cow slaughter from January through August of this year is down 17.1%. This amounts to how many less head from the same period last year? 220,000, 250,000, 280,000, or D, 310,000. 580-225-9697 is the Fowler Agency text line. Be right back after this Taylor Ranch break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
So there's a company out there that has a certain color. All the farmers and stuff think their oil has to be used in those certain color of tractors. And it's just not true. So here at Camrock, we have the same specification oil as the other brand, where people think that they have to use that for a certain color on their tractors and stuff like that. But we have the same oil specifications as they do. Works just as well, does the same thing, lubes it just the same. Price comparison is, it's not even a comparison. We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil. I use it at our place. My son uses it for our colored tractors that we have, and a lot of other farmers use it too. It's the same oil, specifications are the same. It's kind of a myth where they think that it's got to be that certain type of oil for that color of tractor.
Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil.
There's some great cattle to be had at Sweetwater. The third annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 6th at 1 p.m., featuring 51 registered age advantage bulls. Also selling 85 top shelf commercial Red Angus AI bred heifers due in January and February, plus 14 registered open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale the first Monday in October. The third annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event, Monday, October 6th, 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gretiman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts. All the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. Warning, Jimmy will be in Shamrock this weekend. Fall Classic starts this weekend. That's where I'll be this weekend. I'm coming to town. Judge, you get ready. Kelly, you guys get ready. I'm coming. Coming to see you. Canadian, Texas, 80 degrees. Heat index of 82. Humidity is 61%, dew point 66. The winds are out of the south at 14. with wind gust up to 17. Peak wind gust today, 32 miles an hour. 0.8 of rain, 0.80 inches of rain. Month-to-date precipitation, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes yet. 8-inch soil temperature, 75 degrees. Okay, let's see what the Central Crop Care LLC out of Hobart, Oklahoma grain market is doing. Let's see what's going on here. There we go. Updated now. December corn, 417, down 2.5. March is 435, down 2.5. Soybeans for November, 1024, down 6.5. January is 1044, down 6.5. Soybean meal, October, 283.30, down 440. Soybean oil, October, 5018, up 25. Hard red winter wheat, December, 507, down 3.25. December March 527, down 3.5. Well, it looks like the market on the live cattle and the meats are recovering nicely after a big day yesterday. October live, 231.95, up 177. December, 233.37, up 220. Feeders for October, 352.27, up 235. November, 349.97, up 110. January is 343.97, up 57. Lean hogs, October, 97.22, up 110. December, 88.40, up 55. So if you weren't listening yesterday or wasn't paying attention, feeders were down a limit yesterday. Lives were down pretty good. Not the limit, but they was down a big chunk yesterday. So I started getting a lot of messages about the market, the cash market yesterday. And it's really got kind of, I mean, you can get bits and pieces of what's going on, like at Beaver or El Reno West, what's happening. But it's the end of the day when you really get the major report, because yesterday morning they were up a little bit, cash was, and then the board crashed there and things went down a little bit. But it ended up being a really good day. There was some more records set at Beaver, the stockyard records there at the sale, not necessarily state records or anything like that. So let's see what happened at Beaver yesterday. 6,734 head went through there. Wasn't but one bred heifer sold, and it sold for not very much. Where was it? They messed that deal up. Wasn't really a good price there. Okay, bulls. There was 41 head of bulls went through there. Average weight, 1423. Average price, $215.49. Average price per head, $3,066.26 was the average. Looked like the big seller was a big black bull, weighing 1,975, brought 206, a little over $4,000 for that bull. Bull calves. There was 139 of those, average weight 472, average price 384.39, average price per head 1814.08. Let me correct something that I said a while ago about the cash prices yesterday. The cutter bulls did take a hit yesterday, and rightly so. So that was the only thing that really took a hit on the market yesterday, was the cutter bulls. According to this here, looks like, they was five black bull calves weighing 688, brought 334, a few dollars short of $2,300 per head. Okay, here we go. Calves, baby calves. They had some baby calves in there, and they looked like they were bringing anywhere from 550 to 1,050 a head. Average on them was 810. Cows, they had quite a few of those. Let's see what they had here. Holy crap, they had a bunch. I'm scrolling through this report. 1,056 head of cows sold yesterday. 1,227 was the average weight. Average price, $187.05 per hundredweight. $2,295 per head on that many head. That's a lot of cows. Heifer calves. Let's get on down here. Scroll. There we go. 968 head of heifer calves. Average weight, $492. Average price, $397.50. $1,956.30 per head on the heifer calves. The yearlings, let's see what happened with the yearlings. They was 1,372 head, average weight, 736, average price, $343.46. $2,527.72 per head. Let's see here. Let's go back here and look at some big groups that went through there. There was two groups of mixed heifer yearlings, 127 head per group. Average weight was 739 and 738. They both brought 359 per hundred weight, and they were $2,650 per head on those two big groups. That was a pretty nice set. And then they had 130 head of black heifer yearlings, weighing 777, $339 per hundred weight, $2,633. How about that? Now, let's see here. Pairs. They had 15 pairs. They averaged $3,570 per head. Big seller was, they had one that brought $4,750. So, nicely done. Steer calves. Quite a few of those. Let me scroll on down here. 1,419 head. Average weight, 545. Average price, 417.72 cents per hundred weight, $2,277.40 was the average price. So let's scroll back down here and see, look at some bigger groups here of what some nice size group was. They had 46 mixed steer calves weighing 600, brought $4, just 70 cents short of being $2,400 a piece. And then they had some black steer calves, 71 of them weighing 581. Brought 466 per hundred weight, $2,709 for a 581-pound steer. Congratulations to that seller. That was a good price. Okay, let's see here. Steer calves, 1,419. Nope, that's the wrong one. Yearlings, that's where I was going here. Sorry. 1,709 head of steer yearlings. Average weight, 824. Average price, $358.90 per hundred weight, $2,956.88 per head. Let's check out some big groups here. A couple big groups. There's some mixed steer yearlings, 149 of them, weighing 695, brought 406, $2,822 per head. And then we had a some mixed steer yearlings, 134 of them in this group, weighing 843, brought 356. That figures up to $2.62 over $3,000. And then they had a group of black steer yearlings weighing 902, brought 350, $3,161.96 a head. How about that? Still looking good yesterday. All right, let's check out the Fowler text line, agency text line, and see what's happening here. So far, nobody's got it right. So I'm going to give you guys another break to get it right. Nobody's got it right. So let me see here. I'm going to ask the question again. Come on, everybody. Somebody's going to get it right. Beef cow slaughter. Okay. Cow slaughter. From January through August of this year is down 17.1%. This amounts to how many less head from the same period last year? A, 220,000 head. B, 250,000 head. C, 280,000 head. D, 310,000 head. D, 310,000 head. 580-225-9697 is the Fowler Agency text line. Send me in the correct answer, would you? Come on. Do your homework. Let's go. We'll be right back after this Taylor Ranch break.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. When it comes to feeding your cattle, try our Mix 30 supplement, packed with high energy and quality protein to keep your herd thriving. If you're dealing with pests, we carry kaput, feral hog, gopher, and prairie dog bait to help protect your land. And don't forget, we are now booking winter contracts for feed and mineral. Secure the best for your cattle before the season changes. Give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner. And they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get in my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 5th. 1,942 head were sold, 10 head of steers at 411 brought 500, 9 at 467 brought 515, 13 at 557 brought 420, 4 at 634 brought 387.50, 15 at 693 brought 377.50, 12 at 819 brought 330, 7 at 891 brought 337.50, 18 head of heifers at 395 brought 435, 7 at 518 brought 390, 4 at 639 brought 330, 30 at 765 brought 343.70, 5 at 882 brought 285, 10 at 1062 brought 262.50, butcher cows were 46 to 187, butcher bulls brought 159 to 219, bred cows 1100 to 3900, pairs 2700 to 4950. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. Consigned, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Woodward America, here is your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. 78, feels like 78, dew point 63, the humidity 62, the winds out of southeast at 14 with wind gust up to 19. 57 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 72 degrees. 7:54 is the sunset. 40% slight chance of thunderstorms today and 89. Tonight, clear, 68. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 93 with south winds, 12 to 15 with gusts up to 20 miles an hour. Well, we got us a winter, finally. I think somebody finally caught on to my hint and... The question was, man, why does that always disappear on me? Hang on with me here. Oh, Jommy. Here we go. Question was, beef cow slaughter from January through August of this year is down 17.1%. That amounts to how many less head from the same period last year? The correct answer was 310,000 head. And letter D, 310,000 head. That was the correct interest. Okay. I don't know where to start. I got so much good stuff to talk about today. I don't even know where to start. I wanted to, if it'll load up, I'll just load it up on my phone. It's not loading on the computer real well. Let me load this up. I got a message from one of my listeners yesterday, and it was a really good message, and he says what he thinks, and I think that's what you got to do. So I'm going to read you this. And it says, Jimmy, I got in on the tail end of your and Brandon's discussion on rounds of shots. I got in maybe 30, 45 seconds before you stated a breeder needs to talk to their vet. I agree 100%, and there is a difference of opinions with the vets, and yes, that's a very true statement, we have used and those we currently use. I listened to those pushing two rounds and using a live virus. We started doctoring a higher percentage of calves and having a few chronic. I talked to my vets about the change. One of my older vets, who has since retired, said he gave no live virus, period. That the live virus was the issue. I was ready to wean some, split them, gave one bunch kill virus and one live virus. After 21 days, I had doctored almost 50% of those that received the live virus, doctored one that received the kill virus. That convinced me the kill virus is the way to go for us. Has been 3 to 4 years, and we continue to have a low rate of sickness. I talked to a barn owner where I was selling and those involved in the feedlot. I was basically, unless I was selling loads and lots, but anything 20 head or less, I would notice no difference. That their buyers buy the smaller numbers and mix them together. When they arrive at the lot, they will be treated the same. We had three groups that topped their weight class last fall and this spring. None received the live virus. I know others have different results. I respect that, but we will continue to do it what our old vet recommended. After the owner of the beaver, I'm not going to say any more about that, but he said, I like how Brandon handled it. And he said, when you make a statement that shots without a live virus isn't considered around, he isn't a vet. Like you said, a person needs to talk to their vet or vets and develop a protocol that works best for them. And he said, I wish I'd heard the complete discussion, and I sent him a copy of it this morning. And so we go with that. It was a good conversation. And that's it. Man, it's your cattle. You do what you want. Now, people got contracts or got stuff lined up, and I know I don't know if it's got anything to do because of the all-natural program, but a lot of these guys are wanting to do the live virus because it cuts back on the sickness. Now, see, he gave us his opinion. I'm going to give you my opinion. We did this first year I've done the live virus from the cattle, and I'll be honest with you, the next morning when I pulled out there to look at those calves that we gave that vaccine to, I was shocked. My shoulders dropped, my mouth wide open, my heart sunk a little bit. Those calves usually just knock me over to come to that 5-gallon bucket of feed I was giving them in each trough. And they laid there until I was actually dumping the feed in the troughs. And then they got up and come over and ate it. And then I come back, I went back that afternoon to check them again. I was worried. And they had perked up just a little bit. And then the next morning when I came to see them, it was, they were back to normal. And I have knocked on this wood right here, 33 days into the weaning and not one sickness yet. But the last 3 years we've been using the kill virus and I hadn't doctored one on that also. So just a matter of opinion. And like I said, what you need to do is get with your veterinarian and set up your own protocol. And a lot of you already do. A lot of you use live virus. A lot of you use kill virus. So that's your business. But I just think it's kind of cool just to share different stories on what's happening. And there we go. Okay, let's go back to something fun. They're going to start releasing trout if they haven't already in the state of Oklahoma. So if you're a big rainbow trout or brown trout fisherman, Oklahoma has a diverse array of trout fishing opportunities with rainbows and the occasional brown stock regularly throughout the winter months. It's coming up. You're never more than a couple hours drive from anywhere you can go trout fishing. I don't know why they quit stocking them down at Lugard. I guess because the lake's not running. Maybe. Tulsa has one urban trout pond. It's a veteran Park, Veterans Park in Oklahoma City has two, the Route 66 Park and the Edwards Park, that are stocked December 1st through February 28th. For more information on urban trout pond fishing, just go to the OWC, Oklahoma Wildlife Department's website, and click on there for trout regulations, and you can get more. So fishing tips and lakes and ponds and stream are little that with little to no current. Bait fish off the bottom is typically the most productive of getting bites. The basic setup for trout when using a bottom fishing approach is a 6 to 7 foot medium to medium light action rod and a reel spooled with 6 to 8 pound monofilament line. This method requires you to find a singular spot and cast that spot. For still water, you want to use 1/8 ounce to a quarter ounce casting sinker and a quarter to a 1/2 ounce casting sinker for moving water. So you double it up when you get into the moving water. Power bait. That was always my favorite for trout fishing. I was over at Tanicomo in Missouri fishing, and it's the biggest trout I've ever caught, and it was a brown trout, weighed 5 pounds, 8 ounces. And you know what I had on it? Power bait. Same thing I fished with crappie for. So anyway, trout fishing's coming up. If you're a trout fisherman, check out the Trout Angler Guide on the Oklahoma Wildlife Department's website. Uh-huh. Yeah, check it out. Well, this is also a good story in the end. Again, I might sound like a broken record, but guys, cattle theft and horse theft and trailer equipment theft is on the rise. So please keep in mind that stuff if you get a chance. I know ear tags can be cut out, but ear tags, ear notches, brands, you can lock your gates. But all that lock is to keep an honest thief out. So and everybody needs to be nosy. We need a big neighborhood watch all over Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle for this stuff. So keep an eye on it. There's more and more of these stories coming out. But this was a good one. Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association Special Ranger Nathan Hale of District 24, with the support from Special Ranger Robert Fields of District 25, have successfully recovered 6 stolen horses across 3 separate theft cases in Jackson and surrounding counties. The unrelated cases led to the arrest of Jackson County residents Elizabeth Jameson and Hayden Morden for theft of the livestock. So these two people stole all 6 of these from different people. Hale was contacted by the city of Ganado, I guess how you say it, Ganado, police chief July 31st, and also received a report of 3 stolen horses and requested Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raiser Association assistance in the investigation. The police department posted about the theft on Facebook. A Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association member who saw the post recognized the horses and contacted Hill, leading him to their location in Victoria County. Working in close partnership with the police department and the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Hale confirmed the recovery of those 3 horses. Jameson was arrested on August 6th of felony livestock theft charges and later released on bond. I thought they hung him in Texas. I guess you got to be proven guilty first. Never mind. In separate investigation, Hale was contacted by Jackson County Sheriff's Office after deputies received a complaint of a stolen horse. A responding deputy provided Hale with information on a possible suspect and a phone number connected to the case. Using phone records and additional investigative leads, Hale's and Fields located and recovered the stolen horse. Morton was taken into custody August 27th after an arrest warrant was issued for the theft of livestock. Morton was released on bond on August 28th. So there you go. They got him back. The story was on 4 horses, but the title says 6. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. Let's go ahead and take another Taylor Ranch break, and we'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Well, the washing machine just made us sound like a goat sneezing or it's possessed.
Ew, perfect. Well, I'll call Shy the Repair Guy.
You? Call someone? You still haven't even called your mom back from Easter.
Yeah, but Shy fixes everything. Washers, dryers, fridges, right in your home or back at his shop. Whatever your possessed appliance prefers.
Good, because if I have to wash clothes in the bathtub again, I'm moving in with my mother.
Say no more. I'm calling Shy at 243-9619 or Daryl at 799-5433 before I lose more than just appliances.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Your family is sitting around the supper table and something interesting happens. Just a few moments ago, there was lots of rustling and noises. And now nobody's saying a word. Everyone's too busy cutting up their steak and taking bites. Once in a while, someone says something about how good it tastes, but for the most part, everyone's pretty quiet. They're too busy chewing and swallowing and going back for another bite. The meat was processed exactly the way you wanted it, and all you had to do was tell us what you wanted. We processed your meat to the exact specifications, and since we processed the meat at your place, it was really simple for you. I'm Becky Brown, and my husband's Tony, and we're BT Butchers. It's a mobile meat processing shop. We come to you and make it easy as possible, the way you want it. The website is btbutchers.com. That's B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. Remember, it's your meat, and it feeds your family. You deserve to have it processed the way you want it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Madison Park, 86 degrees, dew point 61, humidity's 43. The winds are out of the southeast at 13. No rain in the last 10 days to speak of. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 80 degrees. Sunset at 7:50. Partly sunny. High of 91 today. 64 tonight. Clear tomorrow. Sunny and 95. The false fall is gone. We're back to summer now, huh? That's the way you say that. Okay, let's see here. I wanted to share this moment that I found on Farm Journal. Outraged farmers blame ag monopolies as a catastrophic collapse looms. Farmers are not crying wolf. The wolf is real and right outside the door in the form of generational collapse. This inescapable crop math of sustained crippling commodity prices and high input costs has many growers screaming for immediate relief, potentially via aid payments in late 25 or in early 26. However, bailouts are band-aids over bullet holes. That's a really good statement. Alarm has turned to extreme despair on many operations. On September 2nd, this last week, a telltale farm meeting went nuclear. You guys remember that one that made the news here from Arkansas? Field representatives from the offices of Senator Tom Cotton, John Boozman, and Representative Rick Crawford, along with a rep from Governor Sarah Sanders, initially intended to speak with a handful of growers in Brooklyn, Arkansas. Instead, 400-plus farmers packed the house to overflow on a Tuesday, despite the pressing demands of rice and corn harvest in a mere 3 days' notice, and unleashed a chain of grievances. Where does the blame lie? Where to begin digging for a long-term solution? Amid the fallout of the September 2nd meeting, three farmers sound off on markets, monopolies, mismanagement in the U.S. Ag Department. They spared no scarecrows, or sacred cows, as they might say. Denial just ain't a river in Egypt, says Adam Chapel. Year after year, sweeping all this blah, blah, blank, blank under the rug and pretending it's not happening has got us to this point. Years of barely squeaking by, surviving with a bailout, and then doing it all again. This is the definition of insanity, he said. Growing 2,400 acres of soybean, rice, and corn in eastern Arkansas, Woodruff County, Chapel 46, accuses the USDA of head-in-the-sand policy. I'm sick of USDA graphs saying agriculture income is set to rise. They're baking cattle and coming payments into their recipe and pretending things are good. Bull blank, he said. This is the worst agriculture economy in my lifetime over the last, at least past 3 years. And right to this minute, guys are going under, as in bankruptcy and leaving the farm. The solution is supposedly another bailout or a gap payment the following year. Wake the hell up, he says. Where do you think the money is going to go? It won't go to farmers. It'll go into the suppliers' pockets. The entire ag industry, a bedrock of U.S. security, rests squarely on the shoulders of an American farmer. Ironically, the same farmer is the only player in the ag chain who cannot pass costs down the ladder. Blamed partially because on big ag, he contends, seed, chemicals, or fertilizers, it's all in the hands of a few companies that are the only game in town. You want to fix farming? Start a federal investigation on those big companies. Booming quarterly earnings and big stock dividends make no sense when the farmer can't even pinch a penny. If corn prices were to suddenly jump this month, nitrogen prices will magically rise the following year. If soybean prices explode to $15 tomorrow, a bag of beans will climb to $90. Guaranteed, potash will hit $1,000 and monopoly problem is real. Behind closed doors, away from microphones and cameras, he says federal politicians acknowledge monopoly influence. They all tell me they're aware of the monopoly problem and they don't deny it exists, but they do nothing. Instead, we get bailouts and the money slips right out our hands and into big corporations we owe the money to at the big monopolies. Meanwhile, the same corporations lobby for us to get the bailouts. So you get it? This is real talk, he describes. This is what farmers know and experience. You can bet your ass the monopolies will get their money. If you think otherwise, you got blinders on. The September 2nd farm meeting held a stone's throw outside the Jonesboro's at Woods Chapel Baptist Church was monumental, says retired DeWitt grower Kenneth Graves, 71. I'd say 400 people or so showed up. Maybe more. We're talking about people standing outside the building in the middle of harvest. That tells you all you need to know. Graves, chairman of the Arkansas Rice Growers Association, understands severe hardship. He farmed through the ag crisis of the 80s. However, the current unrest is a coming disaster, unlike anything he's witnessed across a 50-year career. I've never seen the kind of look in farmers' eyes. It's fear. And it's based in undeniable facts. In August of 2025, Graves sent an open letter to the media and politicians pleading for attention to eye-popping numbers. My letter told what things are like right now in our geographic. He says, it looks like you need to yield 100 to 300, 300 to stay ahead. Graves describes that's 100 bushels of beans, 300 bushels of rice, and 300 bushels of corn. Basic Arkansas averages are 56 bushel beans, 166 bushel rice, and 175 bushel corn. In a nutshell, we are going over a cliff. Banks are forecasting farmer bankruptcies at 25 to 40%, and the dirty secret is out, and everybody knows it, and everyone feels it. How does the industry even begin to crawl out of the hole? Start with markets, Graves urges. Our international competition play under the table and get hidden subsidies. The whole dynamic is off. At every level of agriculture, there must be a reckoning. This certainly includes seed, chemical, and machinery companies. Death of a thousand cuts, according to Graves, has been building over time, and now it's at the doorstep. You can argue the guys will be able to get back in the fields next spring, but that's just denying the inevitable. It's just coming. You're just denying that it's coming. Whether it's this year or next year or the next, that crash is coming. Graves advocates for immediate political intervention. I'm urging legislators at all levels to act now. We're talking about our food and our ag security. And when that tanks, the economic effect will spill over every rural region in the country. How about that? They said it just like it's supposed to be said. We've been talking about this on the show since I've started. I don't know how people do it. Yes, we're in a kind of a different area in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Not every farmer gets royalty checks or has wind towers or something like that. But I have noticed there's a lot of farmers and ranchers. They're diversifying, and they're not just depending on that one check a month or one check a year for their wheat or for the cotton, blah, blah, blah. You know, or cattle. Some people are selling processed cattle off their farms now, or, you know, for people to buy. There's a farmer that I follow on YouTube, Patrick Shivers from Georgia. He's getting a paycheck every month now. He's doing pecans, he's doing beans, he's doing peas, he's doing peanuts, he's doing corn, he's doing Milo. He's processing some of the stuff at his house. He's got a check coming up. But we shouldn't have to. The markets are controlled by pencil pushers. I don't know how many times it's been said on this show and other shows. Crop prices are the same as they were back in the 70s right now. But go buy you a tractor. Go buy you a used tractor. It doesn't matter. Or a combine. Or a sprayer. Or a pickup. Pickup's a big deal. The same pickup that I bought back in 19 that cost $65,000, it's $100,000 today. So I just don't know what to say. We just need to... Our politicians got to step in. And it's the same thing with the big monopolies on beef, you know, the big four, we always call it. Same thing there. Why is that? The Stockyards Act should prevent that, but nobody's enforcing it. So I don't know what to tell you, but I would be calling every representative from the state level all the way up to the federal level. Call your governor, send emails. And just be practical. You don't have to be crazy, unrational with it. Just be practical. Say, what are we going to do? You know, and there's a reason why these big land investors are buying all these properties, farm properties and ranch properties, buying these big ranches and stuff, because these guys that got the land right now, for the most part, there's some wheeler dealers out there. They're like, hey, I'm getting out now. Well, I can get it. I'm going to take this money and run. And so that's why people, generation farmers and ranchers, you know, we're in the 60s now. That's the average age of farmers and ranchers right now. They're like, hey, this guy going to give me $5,000 an acre for this land? and do whatever he wants with it. I don't care. I'm out. I'm tired. I'm beat to death. I'm tired of struggling. Yeah, we had a good year in cattle this year and last year. What's going to happen next year? Corn, what, 4 years ago, $8 a bushel today. You're lucky if you get $3.50 for it. It's one of those deals. I'm sorry. I don't know what to fix it, but how to fix it, and I wish I could. But, you know, you guys just need to, women and men alike, farmers and ranchers, and just start hounding our representatives. I don't know what else to do. This 400 farmer meeting in Arkansas got a lot of attention. Let's go for it. Let's get it. You guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sarah, Oklahoma.